Now, suppose you adore your dog so much you can't bear the thought of living without her. What do you do when she dies? Well, thanks to modern science, today you can clone her. But is a genetic copy of Fido really the same as Fido herself? That's one of the questions journalist John Westendick explores in a book called Dog Inc. It's a portrait of the strange new world of dog cloning. Westendick told Steve Paulson the bizarre tale of Bernan McKinney, the first person to get a commercially cloned dog.
She had been driving down the road in North Carolina and came across a strayed pit bull. She decided she would take it home. She lived in a house on a farm. It was a pit bull, and she was afraid if she took it to a shelter, it would end up getting euthanized, as a lot of pit bulls do. At home, she also had another dog, a big, gigantic dog named Tough Guy, who was a mastiff. And her father had gotten her that dog for security purposes, and it was actually a trained guard dog. And one day, the trained guard dog attacked her. She was being sort of mauled by this big dog, and her dog, Booger, even though being, you know, like a fourth of the size, came to her aid and attacked the big dog and gave her enough time to get out of there and get into her car and eventually get taken to a hospital and have a series of surgeries on her arms.
So she obviously felt greatly in debt to this dog.
She did. And then even more so afterwards, as she recuperated, and Booger recuperated too. He was hurt in the fight, but not too seriously. As she recuperated, she was in a wheelchair for a while. She couldn't use her hands. She couldn't turn doorknobs and things like that. She was staying at her parents' home, which was nearby. But Booger sort of began assisting her in all these various ways with these household chores that she could no longer do, like turning doorknobs and getting clothes out of the dryer and, you know, going to the refrigerator and getting drinks and things like that.
Wait, he was the one? The dog was the one doing all this, getting drinks out of the refrigerator?
Well, you know, like the old beer commercial.
I thought that happened in commercials, not in real life.
No, he would actually, you know, he could grab things and bring them to her. But even more so than the practical stuff, I think emotionally he helped her a great deal and sort of gave her renewed confidence. And so he was very dear to her. And when he died, she was one of thousands of people that signed up even before dogs were cloned to bank her dog's genes, cells, with one of several companies that were offering that service.
But then eventually, somehow, she ended up going to South Korea a number of times, in fact, and those are the scientists who ended up actually cloning her dog.
Right. Texas A&M didn't succeed. They did get some pregnancies, or one viable pregnancy, but it didn't come to term. South Korea, meanwhile, got into the picture and beat them to the punch.
So South Korea became kind of a hotbed for cloning.
Right. At that time, Seoul National University was working very closely with a company called RNL Bio. They succeeded in cloning Booger, who was really the first commercially cloned dog.
Now, there are all kinds of strange twists and turns in the story, and one has to do with these Korean scientists who cloned her dog. Weren't they actually involved in the scandal that we read about some years back about cloning the first line of human embryos? It turned out that that was fraudulent, that they hadn't actually done that, and it led to a trial and all kinds of problems for them.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Dr. Huang, he sort of looked at it over there as the father of dog cloning, and the trial stretched on forever, but he was eventually convicted. He was fired once the investigation started at the university, but then went on to form his own laboratory.
So it sounds like the actual science of cloning a dog is actually pretty difficult.
Yeah, dogs were the 18th species clone, and they were the hardest yet. The head of Genetic Savings and Clone, later BioArts, had said several times, you know, it would probably be easier to clone a human than it is to clone a dog. They have to harvest egg cells from other dogs to do this, and dogs only go into heat once, maybe twice a year, and also their eggs are opaque, and so they're a little harder for scientists to work with and manipulate because they can't see through the cells.
So Bernan, this woman with a dog, Booger, who did get her dog cloned, she ended up having, what, 5 cloned puppies as a result?
Yeah, and then went over to South Korea shortly after they were born to meet them for the first time and then on a later trip to pick them up, but that didn't go too smoothly.
Why was that?
Well, she had agreed with the company. Initially, they were going to charge her $150,000 for the cloning.
Wow.
And she, unlike most cloning customers, was not a wealthy woman. The company offered her a discount of $100,000 if she would agree to do publicity and sort of go public with it all. Because most of the people who have gotten their dogs cloned have stayed in the shadows. And when she did publicity about it, her scandalous past came out.
The scandal had been that back in the 1970s, she had actually abducted someone who she thought was her true love.
Right. She had fallen in love with a young man while she was in school in Utah, a Mormon man, and his parents had him sent to overseas to England to do missionary work, primarily to keep him away from her. She ended up hiring a private detective and tracking him down and going overseas, and was actually accused of abducting him and taking him to a cottage and then having her way with him.
Wow. I mean, this is quite a story here.
Against his will, he said in court.
Yeah. So she had this scandal in her past. And, I mean, it does perhaps shed some light into why she was so attached to his dog. I mean, it sounds like a woman who may have had some trouble forming human relationships, and so her dog was that much more important to her.
And to me, there was also, you know, quite a parallel between the two stories, the sort of going to any lengths in the name of love. She, you know, broke the rules and lied when she had to and went overseas and didn't take no for an answer ever and just was very persistent and did end up with the boogers anyway.
And so what did she think of her 5 clone dogs? I mean, was she happy with the result?
It varied kind of each time I talked with her, and I was talking with her by phone all along the way. When she first got them, she was just ecstatic. She came back to the U.S. and then had trouble raising even the $50,000, ended up borrowing most of it from her father, and then went back to get the clones. She was in a motel with all 5 dogs. At that point, even then, she was saying, you know, they don't all look exactly alike. Some of them have their white spots. It's mostly a black dog. Some of them had their white spots in different places, and there was one that was kind of a runt and didn't seem too healthy. And then she had a whole lot of trouble getting them back to the U.S. because she refused to let them travel in the cargo area of the plane. So she came up with this plan to get people to pretend they were handicapped and then that these were actually service dogs, even though they were, you know, just several months old by then. So she was going to find 4 more people each to carry a dog on the plane in the cabin. And so she ended up, you know, going to the airport every day and trying to find these people and going back to the hotel and back and forth, day after day. Eventually made the decision, her money had run out, to put 4 of the dogs in the kennel in Seoul, take 1 to San Francisco, put him in a kennel, fly back to Seoul, get another one,
wow,
and so on, until she got all 5 of them over here. So today I think she's pretty pleased with everything.
What about in terms of the personality of the dogs? I mean, do they resemble Booger, the original dog she loved so much?
I think they're all a little different. They don't clone personality or smarts or behavior or temperament or those things. So it's basically a twin, and a lot of us know how different twins can be.
Well, it sounds like in virtually all of these cases, what these people want is not just the dog resurrected, the original beloved dog, but they want to recreate the bond with that dog.
Yeah, I think that's really the key thing, is they want that feeling back, and then I can relate to that. And even though I think it's all kind of folly.
folly because you can never recreate that bond.
Right. Even if you try to raise it the same way, it's each one is unique and each one is its own special light. I don't think you get a duplicate in all senses of the word anyway.
John Westendick is a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter. His book about dog cloning is called Dog, Inc. He talked with Steve Paulson.